Okay. Like to call the meeting to order, please?
I second that motion.
Everybody? Welcome. We'll get through this as quick as we can and as efficiently as we can. So, does everybody have a copy of their agenda handy? If they do?
Yeah, I think we'll go ahead and go. I know we still have a couple.
Okay. All right, we'll commence with the introductions. We can start, let's start back over there and work our way around, please.
John Gayhart, Iowa.
Lee Gerson, Iowa.
Anita Burns, Central Bosse's.
Sharon Dexter, Bosse's.
Lori Chin, Bosse's.
Kay Schreiber, Bosse's.
Kendra Ewan, Aga, and Lori Dyson is from Aga as well. She'll be right in.
Tom Terrell Byers.
Christy Herrick, Liberty.
Harold Jefferson, Rickery.
Les Windauer, Rickery.
Kay Bridges, Carvel.
Mark Hollenbaugh, Carvel.
Moira Hawks, Bosse's.
Judy Boyce Wiley, Bosse's.
Dale McCall, Colorado Bosse's Association.
Peter Abraham, Geno Hugel.
Robin Purdy, Deer Trail.
Louis Oppenbottom, Deer Trail.
June Guy, High Plains.
Steve McCracken, High Plains.
Sharon Newsom, Lyman.
Chris Sally, Lyman.
Doug Bondi, Woodland.
Cindy Miller, Elizabeth.
Ed Vandertook, Strasburg.
Dean Miller, Strasburg.
Troy Carston, Bennett.
Dennis Veal, Bennett.
Don Anderson, Burlington.
Alan Crowley, Burlington.
Tom Arnsworth, Araba Flagler.
Fred Jimmer, Araba Flagler.
Dara Randall, Kit Carson.
Brenda Smith, Kit Carson.
Shayla Edup, with him. Hans Weinsberg.
Floyd Beard, East Central Bosse's.
And my name is Mike Pugh with Byers. Thank you. Welcome, everybody, and we'll now commence with the roll call. Oh, I'm sorry.
We got two in the back.
Josh Cure, Stratton.
Eric Moser, Stratton.
Thank you. I apologize. I didn't see you back there. Is that everybody? I guess it's... Okay, great. We'll start with the roll call, please.
Dyson.
Present.
Jefferson.
Present.
Trimmer.
Present.
Carston.
Present.
Einspar.
Present.
Crawley.
Present.
Hugh.
Present.
Knutson. Lombano.
Present.
Miller.
Present.
Ravencamp.
Present.
Guy.
Present.
Morris. Hollenbaugh.
Present.
Gayhart.
Present.
Randall.
Present.
Herrick.
Present.
Newsom.
Present.
Miller.
Present.
Cure.
Present.
Bondi.
Here.
Is that it? Is that everybody?
Yes.
We have a quorum?
Yes, we do.
Excellent. Moving on to the approval agenda. We'll entertain a motion to approve the agenda as written with, unless there's some additions.
I'll make a motion to approve the agenda and all the things.
We've got a motion on the floor to approve the agenda. Is there a second? Motion and a second. All those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay? Motion carries. Approval of minutes for the last meeting. Entertain a motion to approve them as written.
I move we approve the minutes of last meeting as printed.
Is there a second?
Second.
We've got a motion, a second, to approve the minutes as written. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Open the meeting for public comments.
Didn't have any requests.
No request. Don't see any. We'll carry on to the consent agenda.
Just a reminder, you can ask for any piece of the consent agenda to be pulled out and discussed separately if you'd like. Or it consists of all of item 5.
If there's nothing, we'll entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda items. Motion second to approve the consent agenda items as presented. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Business action items, the SAC recommendation on Big Sandy School District, Floyd.
And I will turn that over to the SAC chairman, Tom Arnsdorf.
Tom?
I apologize for those of you, maybe I can slip through here. About a week and a half ago, we met with Big Sandy School District and their superintendent, Steve Wilson, and they presented their desires and how they would like to be a member of the BOCES. They get a lot of Title I dollars and Title II dollars, and we ask that all our members pass their title dollars through the BOCES, and we share those dollars. They do not want to do that at this time. So we made the recommendation. Our recommendation is that we would allow Big Sandy to join our BOCES as long as they handled their business with us like everyone else, and they respectfully declined. So our recommendation is to allow Big Sandy to be in the BOCES, but they're going to decline our recommendation. But we also put the criteria to them: if their situation changes in the next 3 years, or as long as their superintendent is still there, that we would use a modified application process for them. In the application process, we do site visits, and Jeannie and Moira spent time in their school and checked out all their special ed issues and things like that. So that takes a lot of time and work. And within the next 3 years, if they desire to apply again, we won't have to do all that work as long as their same superintendent's in place, which I believe you will be. So our recommendation is to allow Big Sandy to join the Central BOCES, but I believe we've already got a letter declined from them, so I'm not sure how we want to handle that action-wise.
Okay. Then in your packet, you'll see the actual letter that we sent to the Big Sandy School District, and the third paragraph. The recommendation of the committee is that Big Sandy School District, Seminole, Colorado, is welcome to join the East Central BOCES, becoming a full member district and receiving full member services. Big Sandy School District is expected to, by joining, will agree to participate in all existing East Central BOCES procedures and formulas. And then there's further explanation on that. So that's the recommendation that the committee brought to the SAC. SAC approved that and then is sending that on to the board for your approval. Even though we know that they're probably not going to take us up on it, that's still our recommendation.
So I guess we'll just indicate that we did approve their joining the BOCES. However, was this a response?
I think your approval would also take our recommendation that their application is kind of an open application for 3 years, so
okay.
Whoever comes along sees that and they won't have to go through the full process.
Now, I think that actually the board should take have it in the minutes as a motion and approval of whether you accept the SAC recommendation or not.
Okay.
All right, so move.
Second, Lyman.
Should we have any more discussion on that? We just want to go forward. Any more discussion on that at all? All those in favor of the motion as stated?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Motion carries. You're on the next one too, okay. All right, next SAC recommendation on the new EC BOCES Executive Director. Tom?
Just briefly, we had, I believe, an outstanding committee for our search for our new executive director. In December we met. We had 27 complete applications. We screened those applications down to three finalists who clearly were more qualified, the committee felt, than the other applicants. And a couple weeks ago we conducted those interviews. We had three outstanding finalists. It was a very, very difficult decision, but our decision was to recommend that Don Anderson of the Burlington School District to be our new executive director, and I would recommend that the board accept our recommendation.
Do you want to ask anything?
Unless people have questions.
Any discussion before anybody wants to, before the motion goes to the floor?
All right. I guess just for a little elaboration on that. The superintendents chose the superintendent people to be on that committee while they were at their strategic planning last fall. They did stipulate that They wanted geographic representation, large and small school representation, board member representation, representation from East Central BOCES staff, and they stipulated what areas. And so that was the committee. It came out to a committee of 10, didn't it, I believe?
Yes.
Yeah, committee of 10, well representative of the entire BOCES and what we do. And so just a little elaboration on when Tom said they had a really good committee. That was the committee.
Okay, thanks. We'll entertain a motion on accepting the recommendation of the SAC committee on the approval of...
Make a motion to accept the recommendation for Tom Anderson to be the East BOCES executive director.
Second, Burlington.
Got a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Congratulations.
Thank you.
Okay, moving on to discussion items. The RHPI lawsuit update and FCC appeal update.
We've had those on the agenda just for updates. Before we move on real rapidly, does anybody in the room not know Don Anderson?
Speech.
Yeah.
Speech.
Speech.
Just saving it.
All right, well, if you don't, be sure and meet him tonight. We'll ask that you guys not get out of here too quickly in case somebody wants to meet you and shake your hand or something. But and thank you to Burlington for seconding that motion. I think we stole a good superintendent from you.
We did.
So, we appreciate that. The RHPI and FCC appeal updates are kind of a standing agenda item. I think we can take the FCC appeal off in that that was finally finished. The FCC did come down with a decision in our favor and sent that back to USAC requesting that all money that had been held up or was going to be held up, that all that flow. We've seen the numbers and updates on the USAC website. We're not sure that the actual dollars have flown yet to trillion, but they usually flow very shortly after all of the paperwork was done. And the FCC said they had to get the paperwork done within 60 days, which they did. So that is good. Along with that, we have now received our newest review from USAC, which is virtually a repeat of all of this again, just like it never happened. They're starting over. They want all the information from 2006 just as though they'd never received anything. So whether that's retaliation or not, we're not sure. We think we're sure, but you're never totally sure. But anyway, there's nothing much we can do except comply. So we are working through it again, but that FCC appeal is actually over. The RHPI lawsuit, of course, did not go to court because he pleaded guilty. We still don't have word whether we're going to get reimbursement. That was part of the plan early on. It's still all hung up with the U.S. Department of Justice. And we did get a letter the other day, or a request the other day, for a form that we had sent to the U.S. probation officer that our attorney wanted. They didn't have a copy of it, and so we know that there's still things happening on it, but we just don't have any word. So maybe by our next board meeting we'll have a little more word on that.
Thank you. Any questions or comments? All right, we'll move on to school finance updates.
And in the narrative I said that I didn't have a response yet. Well, that was because Dr. Dale McCall, as most of you know, used to be the superintendent up at Woodland. He's now the executive director of the Colorado BOCES Association, and he was back in Washington, D.C. So we're glad to have Dale with us, and he also lobbies for us and is hopefully going to bring us some of the news on school finance, maybe the Homestead Act, what that does, and maybe something that he learned in Washington.
Thank you, Floyd. It's good to be here. It's always good to come back this way. And, you know, I grew up south of Yuma, just a crow's fly from Pope, over at a little place called Abar. So I don't know if there's anything left there anymore. But so it's always good to get back out here. You know, I was worried that I'd be the most veteran one here, but Fred's here, so we're okay. He's going to pick on my friend Fred a little bit. And, you know, so I feel better now. And,
that'll cost you.
Yeah. And Don, congratulations. Look forward to working with you next year. Just quickly, there are 19 BOCES in Colorado, and I work as their executive director. We have meetings. I coordinate those meetings. And as Floyd has indicated, I do their legislative work at both the state and the federal level, and it's just crazy in Denver now already, and they just got started. So, but I will talk just a little bit about the School Finance Act. The superintendents probably know what I'm going to say here now, but maybe some of the board members haven't had a chance to be informed. By the way, board members, thanks for serving on the BOCES board. You know, you kind of get double duty along with your own local school board. And I do think that, you know, your board participation on the BOCES board is so important. I think all of you know that we'll talk a little bit about good news first, and then from there it's downhill. But the good news is revenues are up in Colorado. You probably read that the last two quarters. You know, they do quarterly revenue reports and forecasts. September is up. I don't have the exact number. December was up. The revenue in Colorado was up $231 million. And everybody says, man, that's a lot of money. Well, it's a lot of money, but when you're starting with a $2 billion hole to start with, it's not so much. But revenues were up in December by $231 million over what was projected. The next forecast will be in March. And on the School Finance Act, Representative Massey on the House side, and that's where it starts. One year it starts in the Senate, the bill does, to fund schools, and next year it starts in the House. This year it's starting in the House. Representative Massey says, I'm not even going to introduce it until I have the March figures. And he's hoping that those numbers will continue to go up, which will mean less cuts or at least more revenue to distribute. Some of the things that really affect the overall budget, and sometimes we don't think about this a lot, but Medicaid has been going up in Colorado 15% every year for the last 5 years. Medicaid costs. Then you take corrections and all those things. And, you know, the only agency that's been cut worse than K-12 is higher ed, because when you look at some of those, in order to get the Medicaid money, you got to match the federal dollars, or you got to match so much or you don't get the federal dollars. So it's still going to be tough over the next couple of years. I think Representative Massey says he's going to try to hold the line and try to squeeze out a very small increase for K-12 next year. It's what he says he hopes he can do, but I don't know. And if that's the case, I guess that's better than a cut, but, you know, costs continue to go up, and so it's going to be another tight year.
Hey, Dale, I have a quick question.
Sure.
So at the end of last year's state budget, there's some figure at the $61 million that was set aside, and we put it in a holding cell like we've done in the past until January. We were notified that that was going to be gone along with the additional cuts, and then this $231 million come in the December forecast. Nope. And so they've talked about, okay, those additional cuts won't occur in the new budget, but has there been any talk about that $61 million that was in the holding cell that just disappeared from us?
Yes, but they don't talk much about it. They basically took that and put it in the education fund and said, we're going to use that to offset cuts in the future. So they basically said, we're not going to go ahead and distribute that. And let's talk now, good question, Tom, and let's talk now about right now, this budget, because I think all of you probably read that with this $231 million, the governor recommended that the $89 million cuts to K-12 education and about $30 million in higher ed, and is really in the scholarships and grants and what do you call them, for higher ed students, be restored. And so that recommendation is out there, plus an additional $19 million for growth, student growth. You know, out here we worry about meeting students, but there were over 19.7 million dollars in costs for new students in Colorado. That is also a deficit because that there's more new students than they budgeted for. So what's on the docket right now for this current year is to try to restore those funds. And but that has to go back through the legislature. So, and on the new students, the Department of Education had to go over and present that request for that, what they call a supplemental $17.9 million. And that's been done. They presented that, but there hasn't been any action taken across the street. There's one political issue that I worry about how it will be resolved. And that is that in order to recommend funding this $89 million and the supplemental and all that, the governor has said he's going to have to suspend the senior homestead exemption. And that's important to Fred and I, you know, so we got to pick on him a little bit. And the House, and especially the Republicans, are saying, you know, we shouldn't be taxing those seniors. We should take some of this money and let them be exempt of a portion of their taxes. And of course, if that goes through, then that'll reduce the amount of money to backfill or restore for the K-12. So I don't know how that's going to fit politically. But immediately when the governor announced what he wanted to do, then there was the other view was that, well, we should allow some of those tax exemptions. Now, the governor did sweeten it a little bit, the office, governor's office, you know, the budget, Office of State Planning budget. There was an original $8 million in this pool for real needy seniors that couldn't pay their taxes, and he put another $9 million in there, so there was $17 million now. And I think he was trying to sweeten the pot a little bit to try to say we're trying to take care of the neediest seniors and still give them the exemption, but others that can pay will need to pay. So. That's kind of where we are now. When will that all be taken care of? You never know, but hopefully we think we'll know on that supplemental in early February. And on this year's budget, we hope soon we'll know, you know what, if we're restoring those monies. Because they really need to get that done before they start on next year's School Finance Act. And he wants to introduce next year's in March, you know, early March. So that's about all I know about school finance. I think all the superintendents probably saw the big spreadsheet that Leanne sent out from CDE about next year and how that works. I thought one of the things that was really interesting is, and for board members, without getting into too much detail on school finance, but the way they've taken this money back away from school districts is they put in what they call a negative factor in the School Finance Act, and if you combine the negative factors over the 2 years we've had and then the one that's in this new proposed budget, you would have a total of 17% in those 3 years reductions, which is just, and then for rural districts like you folks, if you're losing enrollment, that's another reduction on top. So I'm really hopeful that and I know it varies with every district with your enrollment and all that stuff, but I hope that this trend continues and we have some money for school finance. So any questions on that? Probably there's, you know, it'll be interesting to see what's in that first bill that comes out from Massey, because he told me the other day that he was going to try to mitigate, and he said he'd like to come up with a very small increase. He's talking about 1% or something. I don't know whether he can do that. Depends on the revenue, depends on all these other issues around the senior homestead exemption and other things. There's also an effort, but I don't know where it's going to go. Representative Massey, and he's a Republican, he crosses over a lot but he is also going to go after some additional oil and gas severance tax money for higher ed. And that's pretty controversial, but if you look at other states, Wyoming, anybody who ever worked in Wyoming, any superintendents, you know, they tax their, and they have a lot of oil and less people. They have a lot of oil, natural gas, and less people, but they tax it at a little higher rate, and so does New Mexico. And so, and he, Representative Massey, this is last year, he's term limited, so he says, I can do some of these things. And, but he says that if we would just raise it, I can't remember, 0.2% or something, he could raise so much money for higher ed. And what he hopes then is that that'll take pressure off of the K-12 budget. And you know what higher ed tuitions are now, it's just crazy. So, and in Wyoming, as an example, the state pays 100% of the special ed costs. Wouldn't that be nice? I used to have superintendents when I was Centennial BOCES would work in Wyoming and come there. They got a special ed bill from the BOCES, and you know, they would call me and say, what's going on here? Because they were used to getting 100% state money to cover all those costs. So quickly on the federal level, I was just there last week, and it's very bipartisan. You probably noticed that with the speech last night and then all the responses. It's worse than it's ever been. I've been going back there about 15 years, and we met with the staff for the Appropriations Committee in both the House and the Senate. And on the House side, the staffers wouldn't even face each other and look at each other, and they're talking about, it's so divided down even to the staffer level. I never saw that before. When they were talking about what they were recommending for appropriations for education, they wouldn't even look at each other. And so, and on the Elementary Secondary Education Act, you know, the Senate's put a bill out there, a comprehensive bill. The House has put several piecemeal bills, and there isn't even agreement in the House. So we don't think anything will happen. And this is an election year. So we're still throttled with AYP, and we're gonna have more and more of our schools declared by that formula as failing, which is, that's just a, I think everybody recognizes that that whole adequate yearly progress is a mess, whatever, but until they change it, it's in place. Unless the CDE waiver, Colorado Department of Education is asking for a waiver on the AYP and putting our growth model in place. And according to Dr. Owen today, he was at Southern Superintendents, Keith Owen, they think they're making some progress. But so nothing will happen with the Elementary Secondary Education Act, we don't think, until after the election, and then you don't have it. One other thing that really worries me at the federal level, and I'll get quickly through this, is that, you know, when they had the super committee, y'all remember that, where they were supposed to, those 12 legislators were supposed to come up with how many trillion, $1.4 trillion in cuts, and they couldn't do it. So the committee didn't come up with any of those cuts, but they did pass in that bill what they call sequestration. And if they don't address that deficit situation by the end of December 2012, which is a month after the election, then supposedly, unless they change that law, sequestration takes place, and there would be an across-the-board cut of 7.9% for all domestic programs. Ooh, 7.9% for all domestic programs, including education. Now, one of the staffers indicated to us that they didn't think that happened, but just think about the complexities back there. That's going to be a lame duck Congress, because remember, they're the election in November, and they serve until when they're sworn in January sometime. So they're going to be back there in a lame duck situation, having to deal with this 7.9% across the board cut. So, but one of the staffers said that's too much, and they'll probably punt that down the road again. But then we still have the deficit problem. So it's just crazy back there, and I don't know what's going to happen there. But I would say that when you're planning, and I know Anita, you're on all the federal programs, you know, don't expect any new money and probably some reductions. over time, and of course, the mandates all stay there, including IDEA. You know, it's just crazy deal where they mandate these from the federal level, and they don't fund them, and they talk a lot about doing something about it, but they don't. Of course, now they don't have any money to do anything about it. One of the things we asked for, and officially, was to say, if you're reducing federal funding, for especially for IDEA special ed, that, you know, there's this maintenance of effort thing, and you're supposed to spend as much as you did last year, and there's some, that's pretty simplified, and Jeannie could tell me, but that's as much you did last year, and sometimes that means you got to cut general ed more. We said, why don't you at least pass something that says that if there's a reduction in federal funding, you can take that corresponding percentage reduction in what you spent, you know, so it doesn't put so much pressure on the general ed side of things. And they thought that was a good idea, but whether they get it done or not, I don't know.
Hey, Jim, I don't want to get you off topic.
Sure.
Going back to Washington and ESEA reauthorization, was there any talk about the REAP dollars? I know,
yeah.
17 of our 21 districts really rely on that REAP dollar.
Yeah, I have notes here, and I want to talk about that. That's, I think we're okay there.
Okay.
Here's the problem. There's two parts of REAP. Yeah. You know, there's the part where you send in, go online, get your money, and then there's the low, there's the other part of the money that's for low achieving rural schools. They're putting those together in one pot, and we ask them to make sure that they did some kind of hold harmless, because it might have some impact on, and Anita, you're shaking your head, so we're saying at least do some kind of hold harmless there if that changes the amount of dollars coming to school districts, and we think it will. We told them we didn't think they should mix those two.
All right, thanks. But
that's there. One other thing about rural is that one of the new bills on the Elementary Secondary Education Act actually calls for an office of rural education within the Department of Ed. And it has to be neutral funded, it has to be funded from somewhere else, so within the department. But at least there's some interest back there now in trying to address rural schools, and we've seen some of that at the state, so I think that's helpful. So, okay, other questions? There's probably more than you want to know. Or, thank you.
Dale, thank you for coming.
Yeah.
Appreciate that. Moving on to item C there, strategic planning day for EC BOCES philosophy.
When we were interviewing Big Sandy and we were talking about different ways of doing the federal dollars and district-wide versus targeted and how we all are in kind of one way, how things have been in the past, how they evolved, where they are, etc. We sent that message back to Big Sandy that right now our expectation that is everybody's on board together. On the other hand, we also talked quite a bit about how the ed reform bills that have come out now have you doing improvement plans down to the building level, and so therefore some of the things that we used to not want to do if you wanted to go school-wide, we now are already doing. And so the thought was we need to get together. We have a new executive director coming in, and before that happens, have a discussion on some of our philosophical things here at East Central BOCES. Talk about our federal programs, talk about just our general commitment of sticking together, kind of the insurance policy. It may not help you this year, you're helping somebody else, but then next year you may be getting it while somebody else is not. Just some of those things, as well as just some of the different finances, the way we assess districts. It was real interesting when we brought in Big Sandy, plug them into the formula. You have a new district coming in, you have new funds coming in, and yet everybody's assessment went up if you just put it on that formula. When we brought Elizabeth in, if Elizabeth is not on the formula, they're kind of an anomaly there. On the other hand, if we put them on the formula, everybody's assessments will go way up. And we need to have those discussions, and so we're talking about this strategic planning day, and I would invite anybody else that is on that committee to chip in or chime in on what I might have missed.
The VNets, adding members to the VNet system, that was a one there.
Another thing we do is on the VNets, we have 17 that were in on that. When we were able to do that originally, we had Elizabeth and Kiowa that came into the BOCES afterwards, didn't really have a chance to get on it. We had a couple districts in the BOCES that for financial reasons and other reasons chose not to be on it. And yet, we really need to get a communication system in place. There's new ways of doing that technology. We'd like to have that discussion. We do have a policy that we've been working on, an opt-in, opt-out policy, that what would happen if, for example, an agate, that if they got to a place where they were no longer a district, how do you take care of that? So we have a policy kind of in place, but we haven't really had the discussion that goes along with that. How can we get all 21 of us on a system and some things? So it's just those kinds of discussions. It'll be a nice, heavy, cognitive day, and we need board members there, we need superintendents there, so that as we move forward, and especially with a new director coming in, you have some of that direction so that we can move forward. Ed, anything to add on that, or?
I think, again, it'd just be an interesting discussion and provide some direction for the BOCES, and I think help the transition to the new executive director.
Do we have any procedure in place to move forward with that, or?
Well, we're looking for that strategic planning day. Tom?
Floyd, with the new faces in here, with new board members, did we get emails for all those folks to at least send out an invitation on those days? I know we were all able to chime in, but are there new board members that maybe?
I believe we're up to date, aren't we, Lori?
No, I still have a couple that showed up tonight that I didn't know about, so.
Okay.
All right, so would everybody, if you haven't done so up to this point, please send Lori over there and give your contact information to her, if you would.
So at this point, were there any options on dates?
Well, that's what we were just trying to.
Okay.
I
remember if I missed.
I'm not in the loop on this one either, so I mean, yeah. Other than the big picture. So.
Yeah.
What did you guys?
Well, one thing we threw out on the. We have a superintendent's advisory council meeting on the 17th, I believe.
15th.
And we could shorten our meeting to an hour or two in the morning and then maybe do it on that same day, so that it's not another day that superintendents have to be out of the building and go to a meeting. That was one option we had. Most of the options were in that framework from the 9th to about the 17th.
How many of you in the room did not get that doodle, or did not, weren't able to work the doodle for getting in your choices on days? Okay, so we got three or four of you. All right.
So are we trying to set a date then? Is that?
Well, we're using this process called Doodle, and what it is it electronically it sends out an email to all the people invited, and then you just look at all the choices and click on the one that you can come to.
Okay.
And then it compiles it for us, and it shows us right now the 15th, 22nd, and 23rd, I think, are the days that are the best. So, but we still have about four people we need to make sure we get that to. So we need to get it to Angela.
Yeah, I didn't get it either, Lori.
Angela, do you have an email? I guess
call me to get it, because I don't.
I think you got my email, don't you?
Yeah.
Because I don't remember getting it, no.
Who else did I see that said no?
Fred Dennison.
Oh, Fred?
I didn't get everybody, you know.
You didn't get the doodle? Okay, Fred? Who else? Okay, so we'll make sure that those three, we have that open until this Friday, I believe.
Okay, yeah.
So.
She can resend it out right away, and then the next process will be to just go ahead and take the most popular.
Then we take the most popular day. We know that in this larger group, we probably won't hit 100%.
Right.
But it really needs to be a day when we really need participation in that, because that's going to drive a lot of the basic philosophy, how we assess districts, whether we're all kind of in or not, some of those philosophical things.
Okay.
And we need direction for that.
So I guess the way we have it is Lori's going to send those emails out again, and when we tabulate the data, we'll send out another email with the official date then?
That's correct.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. So, and we're going to try to do that by when?
We're
going to try to have the email out.
We'll get the email out to you tomorrow, especially to
okay.
those three that did not get it.
Okay.
A reminder to everybody else that if you haven't done that, be sure and get it done, because then we'll close the poll this Friday,
okay.
which is day after tomorrow,
okay.
and select the day and get that out to everybody.
And if you don't get the email for some reason, I guess you could always call Lori or somebody and,
right.
and make sure that she's got the right email address. And then once we get that data, we'll Floyd or somebody will send out the
right.
the date.
Okay.
Any other questions or concerns about that? Anything else, Floyd?
That's all right. I had on that.
Okay,
thank you.
All right, we'll move on to reports, and I guess you're up again.
I'm not going to have a report tonight other than we did the lawsuit, we did RHPI, we've done executive director searches.
Pretty cool.
It's been busy.
I would like to give Don an opportunity here, and this will be your spot in the future. Did you want to take a chance to say anything to the group?
You know, just like the committee, really give them a pat on the back, because I know that was hard work. It's never easy when you have to choose people. And appreciate their time and effort that they put into that. And I do look forward to working with all of you as board members and planning on being in your districts to meet you and really get to know you. So I look forward to that opportunity, and that'll get started this summer. Thank you.
Well, thank you. And once again, congratulations from all of us. Additional staff reports, they're enclosed. Was there any? Did anybody want to talk about them?
I want Jeannie to talk about
okay.
hers just a second, because we meet requirements again, and
I did see that.
We are like well ahead of what most of the people in the state do, and I want Jeannie to elaborate on that.
So, yes, we're in meets requirement again, and so it's like AYP in your districts where you get ranked. It's either meets requirement, needs assistance, needs significant assistance, that kind of thing. So we have four different levels similar to yours. And we're in meets requirement again. So there are 20 indicators, and so Moira pulled these. If any of you as board members or superintendents are interested, superintendents, I believe I've given them out before. So Colorado and the Office of Special Education Federal Government look at these different indicators. And so that's how they measure us. They look at graduation rate, they look at dropout rate, they look at compliance, if we have a complaint, all these 20 indicators. So your special educators in your districts really need to be commended, because when we get them that one fall in service day and we really work with them on the indicators, these are the important measures of how they're doing, we're in meets requirement again. So Moira and I and Beverly are elated that once again, but really we need to please thank your special ed teachers who are working with our students with disabilities on IEPs. That's really important to us. Some of these 20 indicators are compliance indicators, so that's how they do meets requirement. Others of them are performance indicators. If you have been on the CDE website, for those of you board members or superintendents that like to surf the CDE website, we have a problem with our one performance indicator. So we are going to be proactively dealing with a performance indicator,
It's our post-school outcomes. So kids after they graduate our school are well below the state target as far as being employed and receiving funds. So we're going to work with our steering committee. Dan Merriweather, our board president, was always on our continuous improvement monitoring process steering committee. And so I would welcome a couple of board members, any of you that have that affection for that population in your schools and would like to be part of our SIM steering committee. So we only meet once a year. It's a half day. And we have principals, superintendents, parents of students with disabilities, community members, board members, Moira and myself, and they kind of give us guidance on what we need to be improving on. We've been working on parent participation and getting our parents on IEPs more involved with the IEP process. And so that has improved significantly. So now we're hoping to take a look at this post-school outcomes. What's happening to our students after they leave our K-12 system? So if you look on the CDE website, you'll see indicator 14, and it's not very high. So none of you have called, but I just wanted to make the board aware that that's kind of the direction we're getting on top of ahead of. So,
thank you, Jeannie. Yes.
Mike, that committee, that would be one of those other duties as assigned. I don't know if that goes both ways, but that would be one of the things.
We would love to have you, Mike, or any of the other board members be part of that. If you have an interest, it's not a mandatory one time a year. And we do have it scheduled. We scheduled for May. So if any of you are interested, it's a half day. We bring in lunch, 12 o'clock to 3:30-ish. So just get with Mo and I if you'd like to be there, and we'll make sure to communicate with you. Thank you.
Thanks, Gene. Okay, any other?
Just we need to have the board president, secretary, and Don sign the contracts.
Yep.
So we have that done tonight.
Is there any other comments from the staff reports or anything? Yes, ma'am.
Kay and Sharon and I watched the Race to the Top webinar today, and I noticed Don was on and Kendra. And we don't have a plan formulated at all, but it does look like there's some options there that might be good for us. Most districts get a very small pot of funds, but if we pull them together, we'd have about $50,600, I can remember, $14 or something like that. And so if you would just hold off declining those funds until we can get an email out to you like early next week about here's some thoughts, or maybe we'll send out a questionnaire, but you'll hear from us early next week and then make a decision about if you would want to pool those funds or not. So that's all.
Anita, just FYI, our board already discussed that at January meeting. So
okay.
Just so you don't know, I mean, a lot of boards are thinking.
Yeah, and I don't have that information, but when we send the email out, you know, to be completely wide open, you can email us back and say we're out, or you know, whatever you want to do is totally fine with us. But we just want to throw an option out there that we could maybe do something collectively.
They haven't sent us out.
Thank you.
No, that webinar will be shown again Monday. It plays again Monday.
Weren't they supposed to send out an email on the 23rd that explained the rules?
It came.
It did come, yeah.
And are they going to let us, we still have to do it over 4 years, or are they going to let us do it in less than 4 years?
Did you want to address that?
Send it in 1 year if you want to.
See, that's when John was here last week, he said he wasn't sure about that. If you spend it all in 1 year, it'd be a worthwhile amount of money, but you have to string it out.
No, you don't have to string it
out.
They said now you don't have to.
And your twins are in order.
The first year.
And your twins are in order.
They said today that they would try to have, like by February 24th, you have to decide if you're in or out. Then by the 29th of February, they will decide. They'll reallocate the funds because they anticipate some people will not accept the funds, and so then they'll reallocate those, so then your allocation could go up a little bit. And then by the 14th, you have submitted your application and budget, and then they hope to have allocations distributed out like in May, early June. So then, you know, if you want to spend all your money right away, you could.
Okay. Any other comments or questions concerning that topic? All righty, moving on, I'm going to skip number nine there. And we can just move right on to an adjournment.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Meeting's adjourned. Thank you all very much for coming.
For coming.